Hello, everyone. Welcome to Mosaics. I'm your host, Holly Beach, with the Idaho Office for Refugees. The whole goal of this podcast, if you're just joining us, is to highlight the many different stories that make Idaho what it is. People from many different backgrounds, cultures, life experiences. So thanks for joining us today for a conversation with Andrea Schmutz. You might recognize her. Hello, Andrea. Welcome back to Mosaics.
Hi, Holly. It's nice to be back again.
It's crazy looking back. So Andrea joined us actually for our very first video episode of Mosaics. It was season 25 when we switched from just having audio to video. And that was back in December 13, 2023 now. Yeah. So it's been a little bit of time, and I'm really glad we were able to reconnect and get to hear about your life updates today and all the good work that you're continuing to do. So thanks for being back. Can you just share a little bit about where you are now in life? What you're doing these days.
Yes, and so many updates. The most recent one, I was crowned as Miss Idaho for America Strong 2 months ago in Boise.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And I am currently a second year PhD student at the University of Idaho. And my program is educational leadership. And currently I'm doing a research article on the perceptions of immigrant women in Idaho about advanced degree.
Yeah, last time we talked, you were teaching at the university there in Pocatello, and you had founded Empowering Immigrant Women. You were doing a lot of great work in the community through your organization. So since we last talked, you're now a PhD student. Yes, congratulations. That's really exciting. And, you know, your platform you were sharing with me with Miss Idaho for America Strong, which I didn't even know was a thing, actually, until you let me know. So congratulations. That's very cool to know you're representing Idaho. So through that, you have a platform, which is Education Beyond Boundaries, Supporting Immigrant Women in Education. And you yourself have some personal life experience of what it's like to be an immigrant woman in higher ed. Can you share a little bit about that?
Yes. And so I became a single parent 2 years, I think it's going to be 3 years now. And I look back on it, I already have a master's degree. And so having an advanced degree already, I was able to get a job that pays higher and then just working just a few hours so I can spend more time with my daughter. And so with my advanced degree, I was able to get a job working for an institution, a higher ed institution. And so hence my platform for Miss Idaho for America Strong is called Education Beyond Boundaries, which encourages immigrant women and single mothers to get a formal education so they can help themselves in whatever circumstances they might find themselves in.
I think that's a really important platform. I'm glad that you're focusing on that. And for anyone that maybe missed your episode before, can you share how it came about that you moved to the U.S. and where your background is?
I was born and raised in the Philippines. I moved here when I was 18. I did an undergrad here at BYU and then my master's degree at University of Utah, both in political science and international relations. And that's how my journey from the Philippines to the United States.
And what kind of things, you know, now when you're working with other women who are new Americans, who maybe are single parents facing transitions in their life, maybe they're newly single parents, what kind of themes are you noticing or ways that you all are supporting each other?
And so I've met a lot of single mothers, and a lot of them are also not immigrants. Some of them are also being born and raised here in the United States. But there is a big common, big common experiences that I've noticed that single moms have experienced, regardless of your citizen, regardless where you're from. I think the number one is childcare responsibility, family obligations. And so we are always, I'm always needing help with my daughter because I'm, like, as I mentioned before, I'm a PhD student. I'm Miss Idaho for America Strong. I have a community group. And so asking for help is very important to me. And so having that support is really needed. And then the second one, of course, financial constraints. And so because as a single parent, your income is already one income, right? Instead of if you're married, you have two incomes and you can support each other. But now it's quite difficult, right, to gather more money. And so that can be another obstacle that I've noticed, or for me. And the third one is it can be pretty lonely sometimes because there are events that I wanted to go, but just like I mentioned, I can't go because I have to take care of my daughter, or I have to go somewhere, but oh, I cannot do it because no one will watch her. Or if I ask someone to watch her, I have to pay the childcare. And so everything is all connected.
Mm-hmm. And as someone whose family is in another country, you also don't have maybe the same kind of community safety net that you would have had otherwise, you know, with the parents and grandparents and cousins and siblings, just the nature of living in a different place. What's that been like in your life?
So for me, yes, it is quite difficult because my parents and all of my siblings, they do not live close to me. They live in the Philippines, and then my sister lives in Hawaii. And so, yes, I don't have that support system. And so I rely on my former in-laws, and thank goodness we are really in good terms. And so my former mother-in-law, or I still call her mom, she would come once a week to help me take care of my daughter, whether it's piano lesson or taking care of her while I have school, where I have classes. And so it is quite difficult if you don't have any family members close by.
You mentioned to me when we were talking earlier that your mother-in-law came to your citizenship ceremony. Can you share more about that experience?
Yes, so it was in Boise, and my grandma, who lives in New York, she was already here, so she came along with my mother-in-law and my daughter, so there were three of us. And my mother-in-law, she's been a U.S. citizen her whole life, and so when she attended my citizenship, it kind of gave her sense of, like, it's such a great experience for her because she didn't get that, and made her proud to be an American. And so it was really a good experience for everyone in the room.
That was recently, right? Was that just last winter that you had that ceremony?
I think it was 2 years ago.
Oh, 2 years ago. Okay, so since we last talked, well, congratulations on that exciting development. I'm so thankful that you were able to do that. What did it feel different for you, like before and after? Can you describe what you were thinking or going through?
I remember there was a sign like, we have to raise your hands, and there was like, you have to defend the Constitution of the United States, you have to defend when there's a war, you have to do this. And then it's like, wow, it's like I have to do a lot of things. And also it just made me proud to be an American because I've been here for quite a long time. And for me, voting was very important to me, right, to exercise my voting rights. And I was not able to do that for 12 years while I was here. And so having that citizenship, I was so happy because finally I could say, like, I could vote.
Yeah, that's big. And I agree with your mother-in-law that if it's something you're just used to, it can be very powerful to see somebody else feel that belonging and then those rights and responsibilities as well. So that's great. That I'm so thankful for you to have that experience. With your work, you have a young daughter, I believe she's 4. Am I correct?
She's 6 years old. I think I think she was four.
Okay, I'm just stuck in the past. I'm sorry. 6 years old. No, obviously she's a very good artist. Unless you did those, maybe you like to exercise your creative. I see in the back behind you some beautiful.
That's her drawings.
Yeah.
And she has a picture in front of me. So when I'm working, she's like my boss. So I'm like, I need to like do it very, very fast on my job. And here is just a reminder that to keep going with school, that I have someone that I have to, it's just, I think she's my motivator to keep going, even though it's very difficult in certain places.
Yeah. Yeah, I imagine that must influence your work and your focus area that you chose. Yes. What do you want her to see in your life that helps her as she becomes a woman someday?
I would, there are so many things I want her to be, but the first one that I want her to remember is to be, there's so many. I cannot just pick one.
Yeah.
If I were to pick one, I would say that there would be so many challenges that will come in her life, difficulties, whether she like it or not, it will come her way. But the number one important thing is to be optimistic and positive and to keep going, to keep moving forward. And so I hope that with whatever I'm doing right now, that she could see that, that she could see that my mom, despite of her challenges, that she kept going and that she has a positive outcome. And whenever, I love this quotation, it says, when life gives you lemons, you make lemonade. And so I hope that she would see that in her life someday.
Mm-hmm. I want to chat with you about, you know, a life transition you've gone through, which is divorce, which I think a lot of people go through, but maybe it's something we don't talk about so much. And I think in certain maybe religious communities or maybe cultural communities, it might be a subject that's not talked about as much. But I think it's something that people go through, and it's a shift in life and a transition. Can you share about how that maybe has impacted your the focus and the drive that you have in your life now?
I never guessed that I will be in this situation. Never came across my mind that I will be a single parent. And I remembered all my life, I'm trying to avoid the divorce because I was so scared of it. From the Philippines, divorce is not legal. Philippines and Vatican City are the only country that don't, it's not authorized. And so I remember coming here in the US when I think about single parent and divorce, I'm kind of like, ooh, that is a scary thing. I'm trying to find ways that I won't do it. And so I was doing everything that in my mind would not let me to divorce. And so whether it's like marrying older, whether it's getting an advanced degree, whether it's finding the right soulmate, but regardless of all of those, I still got divorced and I still become a single parent. But I don't know why it was given to me. I don't know why, but I think throughout the years, I realized that this is what life is. Life gives us challenges and that we don't know that it will be given to us. But thank goodness for family members who are there to support me, who are helping me. Also, I'm grateful for the community members, neighbors, my friends, who are supporting me as well when it comes to childcare. And also, I think the number one thing that made me realize that I can get through this is, I think, forgiveness. I think forgiveness to myself and forgiveness to for my former spouse, that both of us, that regardless that it didn't work out, we still had good memories together, and that I'm going to keep moving forward, and I will make peace with it. And I'm doing this because of my daughter. I want her to see that that despite of raising her as a single parent, that we can make it work, that she will be okay.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for sharing that. I can imagine people could feel lonely in it if you don't feel like there's a safe space to talk about it or to be with other people that have a similar experience. And I imagine what you're doing with not only empowering immigrant women, but your education beyond boundaries, with the practical help that you're giving people, I imagine there's also that community being built to support each other. Is that what you're finding?
Yes. It's the community group I founded. We're very small women here in Pocatello. And so we're very close-knit. And so when we need help, we just text and call. And so I think it doesn't need to be very big, but I believe that we are creating a small community within our group.
And if somebody is hearing this and maybe you've thought about going back to get a higher ed degree, mm-hmm. but you don't know where to start, you don't know financially how that would work out. Is your platform a way that they can find resources or support for that kind of just exploration?
Mm-hmm. And so my platform, Education Beyond Boundaries, is encouraging the immigrant women and single mothers to get a formal education. The resources, I'm still building it, because I'm doing a research on the perceptions of immigrant women in Idaho when it comes to pursuing advanced degrees. And so I'm interviewing immigrant women here in Idaho, and I'm seeing some trends. And so hopefully once I publish this paper, then I will be able to help the immigrant women here in Idaho to get an advanced degree, or to be motivated to get an advanced degree, or if it's worth it for them. And so hopefully I will do that in the next couple months.
Are you still accepting new interviewees, or have you wrapped up that part?
No, I still need 6 more first generation immigrant women who are living in Idaho, who already completed their bachelor's degree. I needed someone who at least got their college coursework from their home country. And so I still need some participants. So whoever are listening, please reach out to me.
We'll put your email in the description, but I have here empoweringimmigrantwomen@gmail.com. Yes. Okay. That would be great to get more connection. I think having those conversations is a great place to start in listening and seeing what the needs are. So it's great work that you're doing. Thanks, Andrea. So now, with you pursuing your PhD, which is really exciting, I'm a little jealous. Like, I've always had it in my mind, like, I'd love to get a master's degree someday, but I haven't yet. I never know, like, which one to pick. Is it going to be worth all the money? Is it going to be what I want to keep pursuing? Or is it just something that interests me now and it's going to be like a passion project that costs a lot of money that doesn't actually help me? But I do still have this goal. I loved going to school before, and it was nice before because you were just a college kid and you didn't have to try to balance work and school at the same time. But yeah, that's been on my mind. And like, even the PhD route, like, wow, Dr. Beach, like, that would be really cool. I don't know. Yeah, do you see people that are you know, interested in it, but it's just not sure how to go about the next step.
Yes. And so I think you're right. You don't want to get into a lot of debt in getting an advanced degree, and you don't want to do that in a wrong purpose. Like, well, I just want to have a doctor title, so I'm going to do my PhD. That will not work. Or you could just, those two things will not work. I think number one, I think we need to look like what's my goal? My goal is to be a professor someday. Well, if I want to be a professor someday, what are the requirements? Well, you need to have a PhD to be a professor. Okay, so you look on that one, right? And then see if an advanced degree is needed, because if not, I don't think it's worth the time, the money, and the effort. And so I think that's very important, number one. And also check your current work. Is the current work I'm doing, if I'm getting an advanced degree, will this help me be in a higher social ladder? Like, would I be promoted as this if I get an advanced degree? But if not, then I don't think it would be worth it, right? And so it just depends on the people, on yourself, like, what's your goal? And for me, I want to be a professor, so a PhD is what I needed. And if professor will not work, then I would like to be a researcher, and a researcher to have a PhD.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a really cool goal. I love that you're teaching. You know, last time we talked, you were teaching a cool class about, I think it was aimed toward immigrants.
Yeah.
In America? Yes. How did that go?
I think so. I forget. I think I went down with ISU, and then there was like low numbers. And so I think, embarrassingly say, I think it didn't work out.
That's okay. It's okay to try stuff. Like, that's where you learn. What do you hope to teach after you get your doctorate?
Well, it would probably be within the educational department, so Department of Education. So right now I'm teaching peace and conflict, and how to teach students, how to teach students peace, or how to do conflict in a collaborative way. And so within that department.
When you say peace and conflict, are you talking about interpersonal or like global stuff?
Yes. So the peace and conflict class, it talks about you as a person, how to approach conflict in a collaborative way in your personal life, in your relationships, and also in the world, around the world, in a global context.
Do you think that is something people come in kind of having some knowledge or skills with, or is it something that people are being introduced to and like newly practicing?
Oh, the class?
Like the conflict piece. I feel like maybe we're not as good at handling conflict these days, but maybe that's just like me getting old and curmudgeon-y. I don't know. What are you observing?
I think the class, everyone can take it. It's an investment in both your personal growth and professional success, because conflict is an inevitable part of life, whether in the workplace, at home, or within communities. And so whether you're a teacher, manager, parent, friend, and the ability to communicate clearly and seek resolution rather than contention will strengthen your relationships and enhance your ability to lead. And so I think the class is really helpful for everyone.
Yeah, maybe you'll see my face on the Zoom call, one of your classes. No, I think it's a very good topic. I find that like conflict reminds me of like money management. And, you know, we go through school growing up and we take all these classes, but I feel like these subjects that are really like prevalent in your adult life aren't always, maybe they're expected just to be taught at home, but they're not part of the curriculum. And I think conflict, the older I get, the more I realize how much work I have to do to be good at conflict, because my go-to is like avoid. And so to actually face it and be direct and be honest with myself, it's like a skill building thing that takes work. And so I think it's cool that you're helping young students or whatever age they are, really kind of wrap their minds and start thinking about that.
Yes. And it's so interesting when you say avoidance, because we talked about it in the class. There are like five different types of conflict. There's the avoidance, and there's collaboration, and there's so many. And the good thing about the class is it's a GE requirement now. And so everyone in the institution for this class, they have to take it. It's part of their GE class.
Wow. That's very cool. What an interesting thing that you get to do, to have these conversations with students and these interesting subject matters. Seems like you picked a very good path for yourself that you're pursuing.
I hope so, in theory.
In theory, yeah. Well, as long as you're excited about it still. And I love that you said you tried something and it didn't work out. I think that's part of it, yes. Right? Like, it's all part of the journey with learning and figuring it out. And so you have some events coming up this summer as part of the Miss Idaho for America Strong. And when you were sharing with me about Miss Idaho for America Strong, I was very interested, because you're like, yeah, you don't have to be a certain age limit, or you don't have to be like never married or never having children before. Like, it just seems more of an open platform for good.
Yes. And so I'm Miss America Strong. So the Mrs. America pageant is under the umbrella of Mrs. America. So they later created the Miss title. And so for Miss for America Strong, it's open for single, divorced, widowed women aged 18 and older.
So next you're going to be, so you won the state competition and now it's time for nationals. That's this summer, right? In Las Vegas?
So the nationals will be in Vegas sometime in August. And so in preparation of that, I am doing a fundraiser. It's called a piano concert fundraiser. I play the piano. And so I will play the piano for my fundraiser. It's really funny, because I was talking to someone. I said, this is so hard. I'm playing the piano. I am promoting the fundraiser. I am a mom. I am this. And I said, usually an artist, when they're doing a concert, somebody's doing marketing for them. But I have to do everything on my own.
Yeah, that is a lot. You need to get yourself a PR team.
I know. It's free. It needs to be free, though, because I don't have money, too.
So anyone who's doing pro bono PR out there, contact us. What happens if you win the nationals?
Yeah, good question, because I actually don't know.
It's like $1 million.
I still need to reach out to my directors. I think we're going to have a Zoom call, and I will find out what will happen, like what are the free stuff I'm going to get. But I think my first reason why I joined this is to be a voice for the immigrant women and single moms in Idaho. I think that was my first purpose. And so I wasn't thinking about, oh, I'm going to get some money, or I'm going to get all this free makeup. I don't think that was like in my radar. I think being the voice and just empowering women, I think, was my number one goal.
You're a much better human than me. No, I was mostly thinking, like, do they support that platform? You know what I mean? Like, will you get some more resources behind it, or you know, a spotlight on it? I think that's really cool to be that voice.
I believe so. There That's why I'm excited about that in August, when I get to Vegas, I will use my platform to talk to the judges about what I'm doing here in Idaho and how I'm able to use my platform in the national level. And I'm going to talk to the women. So there are 51 contestants. So I'm excited to share my platform to them as well.
That is really exciting. You'll have to send me a link. I want to see your portion. That's very cool. Your fundraiser is coming up. It's on our community calendar at idahorefugees.org. I believe it's in Pocatello, correct? What? Idaho Falls. Oh, that's right. That's right. Idaho Falls. So if you're in the Idaho Falls area, which day is it on?
May 30 at 11 a.m.
Okay. So yeah, check out our calendar. You can see that on there and support Andrea. Even if you can't go, there's ways to support her in this great work that you're doing. Thank you for bringing this to the forefront. Thank you for having these conversations and for helping other women feel less alone in whatever journey that they are on. I think it's an amazing thing that you're doing. So thank you, Andrea. Anything else that you'd like to add before we wrap up?
No, thank you so much. I just want to thank you for inviting me to be one of your speakers for this podcast.
Yeah, I think you might be our first. No, sorry, you're our second one to come on twice.
Oh,
but still, it's an honor. It's a mosaic honor. No, but thank you. And we'll be rooting you on this summer, and let's stay in touch. You know, if there are ways, you know, anyone that wants to connect with Andrea and what she's doing, you can reach out to us or directly to her. We'll have our contact in the show notes. But I just think the more we can come together on this, the better it will be. And I do want to shout out, you know, quickly, some of our partners that places like One Refugee, you know, the colleges throughout Idaho that do help this daunting idea of higher ed. They do help bring it to a more reasonable goal for people. You know, CWI has an amazing adult education program that people can do at different hours if they're working, or, you know, it's affordable. I think it might be free, but I don't want to speak out of turn. So, you know, this idea of higher education and what's next for your life or opportunities, there are resources out there. If that's a goal, then know that there's support. And so thank you for what you're doing to bring attention to that.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you.
Okay. Well, that's it for today. Andrea, we're wishing you the best. And tell your daughter we love her drawings. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. I hope you... Yeah, and just wishing you lots of joy and success as you tackle this next year. Thank you for chatting.
Thank you. Thank you, Holly.
Thank you for joining the conversation. For more information on how to be involved with refugee resettlement, please visit idahorefugees.org. Mosaics is produced by the Idaho Office for Refugees with grant support from the MJ Murdoch Charitable Trust. Music by the Afrosonics. Production in partnership with SB Studios.